We make films.
Movies?
All right, let's get to work.
Ooh, look, a ghost cap floating all by itself.
Please, of course you were programmed by nature or nurture or both. And to be honest, Caleb, you're starting to annoy me now because this is your insecurity talking.
Congratulations, San Francisco. You've ruined pizza. First the Hawaiians, and now you.
What do you do?
I play the orchestra.
So hi and welcome to the On New Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
Do you know what day it is, Douglas?
It is Saturday.
It is Saturday, but that's not when they're listening to this, so that doesn't count. It's a different day for them.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the theory of relativity, then I just finished watching Interstellar, and I know that you're wrong.
That's probably not true.
A movie, but more importantly,
because we're not in the Tesseract.
More importantly, Douglas, it is no longer 2015.
Thank the Lord. Holy shit, that year.
Which means
that year.
We can now close the book on the year and officially say what are the best movies of the year and tell the internet what they need to know. Because, as always, Damien has let us know that we are the benchmark by which the internet goes. And
I mean, if we don't tell them,
all of this other chatter that we hear on the internet is the unofficial history of the world. We now have to set the record straight.
The rest of those podcasts, they're unofficial movie podcasts. But you know, we are the unnamed movie podcast.
But
we are the official one.
It might not be in the name itself, but
official
it's implied.
Podcast,
it's implied.
G-Man Reviews? Is that pretty much? I don't even know what type of blum.
We should probably call it that from now on. The official G-Man Reviews. No, that doesn't sound
good.
What would that be? Top? That doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
Anyways, guys, it's top 10 time.
Word.
So it's that wonderful time of year where I get to ask you guys before we start, what is your over-under on how many times Damien will want to stab me for movies I mentioned in my list?
I would say 10 stabs.
I'm going 4.
You heard 4?
Because the type of movies that came out this year, right? Like, this is so narrow. Like, no matter how hard he tries, he can only come up with, you know, so much dumb things, and then no more.
So you're saying 4?
I'm thinking 4.
You're at 10, Douglas. You said straight 10. Up 10.
I'm
okay, alright.
I mean, cool. Douglas.
No. Actually, there's 9 because my max has to be on.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, you know what? There's 10 because it's Andrew and it's probably not Andrew.
He's probably
argued himself out of it to say, you know what? I don't want to have the argument next year as to whether this one is better than the other.
Are we never forgetting that?
Nope.
We're never giving up on that. Okay.
Dark Knight wasn't your favorite movie.
Anyone wants to start off?
Why.
Who wants to start off?
Are we doing awards first or top 10
No,
first?
We're going to go through and then when we, right before we hit number one, we'll do our roundup of awards.
Okay.
To go up to number one.
I can
so
start
we're starting
if you
at
want
10.
To start?
Douglas, he wants to start. We'll let Douglas kick it off.
Sure. So, my number 10 is a movie that out very early in the year. And this year, I don't even want to say this year, but these past couple of years have really been the era of the Oscar Isaac. You know, there's a bunch of movies like Most Violent Year that I wish I had watched last year so that it could go in my list, but I didn't. But I did watch him in a movie. And in this movie, he took some freedoms. He was allowed to, you know, dance it up. It was great. With robots. It's called Ex Machina, Ex Machina, I don't know what's the right one, but it's kind of awesome. It gives me Oscar Isaac, who I love, Domhnall Gleeson, who I love, who, by the way, both of those people are in the new Star Wars movie. Interesting. And Alicia Vikander, who I didn't know who she was at the time, but she's in Man from U.N.C.L.E., and that gives her carte blanche to be in any movie that I must watch.
She's two for two.
Two for two.
Pretty good. It's a good start.
Yeah. So I really like that movie. Number 10. It's great.
Oh, me? Sure. My number 10 is Dope.
Oh my god! Stab!
Okay.
Cool. You did not like that movie.
I did not like that movie.
I think I want to watch it again though.
That's cool. I love that movie. Like a lot.
It's. You know what I hate about that movie? And it's the same reason I don't like Compton.
Mm-hmm.
If you strip out
mm-hmm.
Hammer Dances.
Okay.
If you strip out the soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
There is nothing to that movie. That movie is less than ordinary.
Think about how many movies that could be applied to. And then tell me what movie survives being a good movie.
I've had this running joke in like last month or so about Douglas and movies.
Mm-hmm.
Where if it isn't fun or mm-hmm. music related,
yeah.
it doesn't want yeah. to watch it.
Let me take out the music and the style of all these movies. Listen, the movie's fun. It becomes preachy though? Towards the end.
Is it fun though?
But I was too busy having fun the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you didn't like the slippery slope joke?
Sure, I like that joke.
Right.
That doesn't mean I love the movie.
A$AP Rocky being A$AP Rocky.
I actually didn't know that was A$AP Rocky.
Fine.
Because I don't really know. I know he is a thing that exists, but
The entire story and the friends and the dumbness of that movie, it worked. It could have been a train wreck, and it wasn't. It was a fun, enjoyable movie that I've seen enough times to know that I find no fault with that movie. Plus, extra bonus, best soundtrack of the year. But we'll get to that.
My number 10 is a late entry into my list. I didn't see this movie until yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided it has to be in the list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where it really needs to lie. So I'm just throwing it in at number 10 and figuring it out later. And it's a German film by the name of Phoenix.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really good. And it's surprising because when I looked it up, I've seen the previous film from this director and I wasn't too hot on that movie. That movie was Barbara.
Barbara.
This movie, if no one's ever heard of it, it's about a singer, a Jew, post-World War II, who comes back to Germany and she wants to get back with her husband, who she lost touch with. During the war. And she ends up discovering some things happened, right? She ended up going into the camps, her husband didn't, and she kind of just decides to let it go, kind of, and try to get this to happen. She's had some plastic surgery happen to her, so she looks a little different. So it allows for her to have a relationship with her husband without her husband knowing that that's her. While he's trying to use this woman mm-hmm. to get the inheritance that she's going to get, and figure out what's happening. And the movie is kind of great. I was trying to remember, earlier today, we talked about a movie on this podcast, which we all kind of loved, but for some reason I've already forgotten. And one of the reasons that we loved it, and Damien, you talked about it specifically, is that the movie doesn't let you know what the twist is going to be.
Oh yeah, about Ellie. It's about Ellie.
Mm-hmm. About Ellie. That's
actually, that's a this year movie, now that I think about it.
Question mark. I don't know. I left it off. I didn't want to consider it.
I should go in the list. I like that movie.
This movie does the opposite of that, in that we already know the fact that she is this person, and it's all about coming to that end point where he finally finds out that's who she is. And just seeing it happen, like, it was just one of those moments where you're like, yeah, that's such a juicy moment in a movie to see happen. And it's a great movie. It's on Netflix. Everyone should go and watch it.
Oh, I guess it's my turn.
Don't worry,
I'm so used to it going the other way around. Okay, so my number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, let me just put it out there. My list is going to have a lot of dumb movies on it.
We already know this, Douglas. We've met you before.
Yeah, but more so than usual. Usually, I try to, you know, be the film snob.
Are you sure?
And my top 10 is generally, you know, cinematic wonders of cinema.
I mean, I wouldn't say that.
And there are some of those on here, but...
I usually use the phrase pretentious garbage.
The pretentious garbage to just... 5-year-old horseshit ratio is very off this year. So, speaking of which, my number 9 involves a number of people that, oh my goodness. So, there's this guy from New Zealand, and he makes movies.
Word.
Yeah. And he makes movies, you know... For instance, about a boy who imagines himself to be Michael Jackson. Or about all sorts of crazy things. Those movies weren't that good. This one was awesome. Taika Waititi directed a movie called What We Do in the Shadows.
When you are a vampire, you live for hundreds of years. You may as well get good at something. One of my favorite hobbies is erotic dancing.
This is my torture chamber.
I dabble in pottery, karate.
Wow.
I collect small shovels.
And this movie needs to be on everybody's top 10 list just for the Facebook poking joke alone.
It's in right? my honorable mentions. I was going to nominate it as the best Facebook joke of the year.
Because this is special. Have you watched this, Damian? Oh, I don't know if you'd like it, to be honest, because it's not necessarily the easiest comedy to watch, but there it has some moments that are just spectacular.
Are wonderful.
Yeah.
It's my turn, right?
Yeah. Again, I'm looking Number at nine. Andrew like, it's your turn, right?
They're almost at 50% with their good to bad ratio in this series.
Mm-hmm.
They've been furious 6 times previous. They've proven that if you don't put your mind to something, you can make it supremely dumb. And they did that.
Are you sure, David?
With Furious 7. No brain power went into this. Because your brain asks questions. And you don't want that in a Fast and Furious movie. What you want is spectacle. And you just want them to keep ramping it. And at a certain point he went, alright, they drove safe through Brazil. What else can you do? And then the next movie they find...
And they actually mention that in
this movie. Right. And in the next movie they find...
Oh, that was easy compared to what we're doing this time.
They find something even more dumb. And you're like, alright, I guess they're out. They've run out of dumb things. And then in this movie, they're like, no, ignore the tank nonsense and the safe nonsense. How about we have cars fly? Which led to someone said...
Cars don't fly.
And if you can put that in a movie and it is not said as a joke... Then you've hit on something that I'd love to watch, and I've continued watching. Which is why it's my number 9.
I still think that Dom needs to leave Jamaica
because he's attacked your car. Listen, collateral damage has it's not his fault. He has the world to save. We don't know it, but he knows.
We'll find out next year when Furious 8 comes out, right? Why are we on board with those movies though? It just feels so wrong. To be on board with themselves.
They're so dumb. So
they've finally given up the facade of being about street racing. Right? When it was that, it was straight up garbage. The second they went, how about we make these dumb action movies? How dumb? Like torque dumb.
Alright.
So my number 9. It's a movie I know Douglas has seen recently and I don't think he appreciates it as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if Damon has seen this movie. And every year I think I have to have one of these movies on my list, a movie which shows a deep appreciation for movies I love.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll make dumb jokes about it and we'll play with it in a way that makes me constantly happy to go back to the movie to see if I can find more movie references within this movie. And the movie is called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. I knew I was going to fall in love with this movie the moment that...
Just one step. One step.
Okay.
So that's one.
Really? Mm-hmm. You didn't like the movie at all? I mean, I watched it and it wasn't special.
Like, right.
But it was nine. Okay. It was nice.
Nine? Number nine.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
The moment where he decided he needed to crawl into his room to get away from embarrassment, and they have him going up the stairs after having a conversation about Vertigo to the soundtrack of Vertigo, the same camera motion that they had in Vertigo going up the stairs at that famous end scene of Vertigo, and I just spent that whole 30 seconds just dying with laughter.
I didn't catch that.
You got caught.
It's one of those movies that if you know enough, if you've seen some of these movies enough, you're going to catch so many little things.
But I've seen Vertigo.
Like, oh, they're pandering. Oh, that's what they're doing.
And guess what? They got me.
They got you. Yeah.
You got Jason Statham.
You got God.
Right?
No, listen, I understand. I'm not saying you shouldn't have. You're making a better argument as to why it's number 9, and that's fine. You got, and that's fine. Sometimes in life, we get got.
Okay. Well, my number 8 movie is a movie that had to be on my list. It didn't matter where, it just has to be there. And it is about A League of Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
A League of Gentlemen spies, known as the Kingsman. This movie is by far one of my favorite movies this year to just sit down and watch and just laugh. Matthew Vaughn continues to churn out the bangers, because at this stage I'm thinking, and I'm not quite sure if there's any of his movies that I don't like.
Did he do Kick-Ass?
He did, yes, the first one.
He did
the
first
second
one.
Did he do... No, that's not the one I was thinking about. The one with the Professor Xavier.
First
Wanted. Last. Did he do Wanted?
Was no,
that
I don't think
that
so.
Was,
that was okay. Some
he's
random
fine
person.
He's
yeah
fine.
Yeah.
Although, if he did do Wanted, it's good work. So.
No, it's not.
But yeah, this movie is just, it's perfect, and I really like the actor in it. I don't know his name,
mm-hmm,
however, he is also in 71, which is, wait, is he, no, he's not 71.
Yeah, no.
No,
no
71
is Startup.
Yeah, sorry. What he
guy,
is in is in Eddie the Eagle that I really want to watch next year. but yeah. The movie's just perfect. If you can, and let's remember, first of all, this is a comedy.
Yes.
And if you can get me in a comedy to look at Colin Firth and say, yeah, that guy's a spy, like he's beating up people and I'm down with that, then you've done your job, sir.
I still laugh at seeing the Beckham headline behind him in his room.
Number 8 for me. It's a movie that you guys told me to watch. It has the greatest name of all time, Bone Tomahawk.
Oh.
This movie would have been higher up if the ending was longer.
You mean as in that whole fighting was
if there was
longer
more Bone Tomahawk? I'd have put this movie higher. As it stands though, good lord, this movie, it is. Like, it should be higher on my list. But I don't want to reward a third of a movie more than entireties of one of the movies. It feels wrong. Oh my god, do I love this movie. I've seen this movie, no joke, 6 times.
Well done.
And I started watching this movie once. 4 weeks ago, something
we,
like that.
We kept harassing you to watch it.
It's magic is what this movie is. It's the best Western. I dare Tarantino to make a better Western than Bone Tomahawk.
I think he's working on it.
If you can make Hateful Eight better than Bone Tomahawk, sir, I will take back every negative thing I've ever said about. But you
want
can't.
To watch Hateful Eight? No. Can we stop this podcast and watch Hateful Eight? Can
is
we
it
go
out?
To the movies and watch Hateful Eight?
Is it out?
Not
out? Okay, then. No. No,
you
can't.
You
can't.
You can fly and go out.
I mean, you guys can. They'd stop. Yeah, they're your
friends. My number eight. It was one of my top movies midway through the year. And I really should revisit it, but I just love what it did for me at the time. It's one of those movies that people just kept touting throughout the year as one of the great genre movies that came out. And I agree. I like what it did with its own metaphor. And Douglas will laugh because it had a dumb joke that he made about it. And it worked. But I still like it for all of the serious reasons that you really should take this movie. And it follows.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot. Oh, yes.
This thing, it's gonna follow you. Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you, back in the car. It could look like someone you know, or it could be a stranger in a crowd. Whatever helps it get close to you. It can look like anyone, but there's only one of it.
Help. Help. It's really good. I like how it takes its own dumb idea, which is actually a really serious thought, really seriously. It's basically the best concept of genre movies, which is to abstract the serious underlying concepts in the real world that are frightening us to death and making it into what could be a really dumb monster or trope in a movie and let us just run with it for 90 minutes to 2 hours. And I really appreciate this movie. I love it. It follows. Great.
Okay, so my number... Where are we at now? Seven? My number seven movie is... It's a tale about a group of people who have banded together and realized that it's not always about being fast.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Sometimes you have to be furious.
Is that why it's number seven?
That's why. Actually, I never even... There we go. Mm-hmm. That was a complete coincidence. However...
There's some other number seven movies this year that should really be in that slot. I really wasn't talking about that one. I don't think anyone should have that in their slot.
Okay.
There's a different number seven of a franchise that came out this year.
Was there? If you say
this
so.
This is an Aki. This is a Rocky 7. Otherwise known as...
Oh, okay. Curry. I do like that movie a lot. And to be honest, it was on my list up until somebody here reminded me of a movie that wasn't on my list. So it got the boot. However, Fast and the Furious 7, guys. We've spoken about it already. It's the best.
You're welcome. Mine's is Kingman. Kingsman.
Awesome. Kingsman. Me and you.
Yeah. Kingsmen. Kingsman.
Men of Kings.
That's a better name. Douglas spoke about it. This movie's great.
Yeah. My number seven. It's another German movie. What is happening? I saw it recently, and I haven't stopped thinking about it. It just needed a mention, and it goes by the name of Victoria. This is a movie which, after doing some reading, I just love this guy's story. It's a movie that is actually done in one entire take. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It was shot from like 4:30 in the morning in Germany until like 7 in the morning. And it's about this young lady who comes upon some friends one night after leaving the club late. And becomes quick friends. And slowly but surely it escalates to the point where they end up doing a bank robbery.
Like what friends do, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Like what friends do. They're not the greatest of people. But it's a fun movie, and it doesn't... Like, you hear about an idea of a movie being one whole take for 2 hours and 20 minutes and you kind of think of it being exhaustive. It never really gets to that point. It just keeps going and it ramps itself up without feeling that you're running out of steam or any sort of thing. I adore it. And I adore, more importantly, the story of the director, in that this movie was actually shot 3 times because it had to try and try.
Of course.
Right? Because if you're doing that, you're going to make mistakes. And he had to kind of roll with punches. So actors would make a line mistake and you'd be like, all right, that's in the movie, and you just keep going because you don't want to break an hour and a half into your shoot.
Into your experiment.
Right? But in order to prove to the investors that things were going well, he actually hired an editor to make a cut-up version of the movie to show to them.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, here's a regular everyday movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he released it, he released one of the nights of shooting, and it's kind of great. Yeah, you should go and watch it.
So he's a lunatic. So my number... No, that's fine. That sounds incredible. I should watch. If I'd seen it, I'd be better able to make judgment on your choices, but that happens.
So my number 6 is a German movie by the name of Victoria. I really like this movie, Damon. It's really good. And I don't know if you want to take this as some sort of condemnation of my observance. But until Andrew said that maybe a couple days ago, I didn't even realize that movie was all one cut. I was just in
like
the movie.
I had to look it up,
you know,
because I wanted to make
it was
sure
just a movie
to me. Birdman trick.
Yeah.
Where I had hidden cuts. Right?
Yeah. But Birdman, and the thing about Birdman, and the difference really between Birdman and this is Birdman is so ostentatious with it. Right? There are all of these crazy, like,
movements
and... This movie, it doesn't do that. It's just like, exactly. It's just like, you know what? This is what you're watching. Don't even think about how, you know, crazy I am. Just watch a movie because it's cool.
Focus on the movie and leave the lunacy to me.
Exactly. And that's what's great about this movie. And it just happens to have a story that you can, you know, get down with.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I wish I had seen it. I have not. My number 6, is it?
Yes.
Is... Disney's best movie for the year. It is Inside Out.
I like that movie a lot.
Pixar don't do it again.
Yeah.
They had some missteps, according to some people. And they knocked this one out of the park. It is incredible. Sure, when you step back and think about it, it is a movie about a child having a nervous breakdown.
We're taking the train of thought.
The train? Of course. That is so much faster. But how do we catch it?
Well, it kind of goes all over the place, but there is a station in Imagination Land. I know a shortcut. Come on, this way.
Oh, I'm so glad we ran into you.
The station is right through here. After you.
Joy.
What?
Well, I read about this place in the manual. We shouldn't go in there.
Bing Bong says it's the quickest way to headquarters.
No, but Joy, this is abstract thought.
What are you talking about? I go in here all the time. It's a shortcut, you see? Danger. Shortcut. I'll prove it to you. Look at me. I'm closer to the station because I'm taking the shortcut.
Let's go around. This way.
Almost there.
If you want to walk the long way, go for it. But Riley needs to be happy. I'm not missing that train. Bing Bong knows what he's doing. He's part dolphin. They're very smart.
Well, I guess.
But you shouldn't do that.
You should
focus on the laughs.
I like to think that there's an edit of that movie where Disney shows you, like, in a little picture in the corner, like, seeing the outside face of Riley.
Right.
Where you're just seeing what's happening to her outside as opposed to following joy and sadness going around. I rewatched that movie the other day and I totally liked it a lot more, though. But one of the things that came to me, which I guess I didn't quite realize watching it in theater at the time, was the fact that it bothered me that we weren't with Riley more. And then I realized, wait, I'm always with Riley because we're inside her. But yeah.
You heard what I heard, right?
I'm pretty sure I heard what you heard.
These are just representations of writing.
No, that's not the objection.
Because I said I'm inside
writing. Don't say it again!
No!
Don't! Don't! Mm-mm. That is not okay.
Andrew, there is a movie about people like you with Michael Keaton in it that they just released. Watch it and understand why. Listen, you shouldn't
say things like that. That is not okay. Right?
Alright, you're done.
I'm done.
My number six, it involves one of our favorite topics to ever come up in movies. It's space cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
As well as colonists.
Mm-hmm.
As well as botanists.
Right. And is there piracy?
People who science the shit out of all of their situations. It's Matt Damon in Ridley Scott's
The Martian. I'm sorry, The Martian.
The movie's fantastic, Martian. Guys. It is, like, we've seen a lot of these movies in the last decade plus where we're just stuck with one guy in a bizarre situation and he's forced to have to survive one way or another. This might be the most fun they've ever had with that premise.
Because they've made him into such a likable guy, you know, and he's talking to nobody, but you're just like, I like how you talk to me.
Having seen that movie a couple of times, the other thing that they do is not give us any prolonged periods where it's just him on the screen. They cut back and forth to what is happening on Earth. So there, you understand that he's alone, but you never feel stranded watching the movie. And that
and
was
he
clever.
Has lots of disco to keep him company.
There is that. And that movie has a couple of awards to get from later in the program. Who cares? Radio Podcast. Show.
Okay.
I've never liked that word.
Talky thing.
I prefer that word. It's too long.
So my number five, and hold on, I have to take some time and put on the Kevlar.
Yeah.
Because I know Damien might not know what this movie is, but I'm about to get stabbed from Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And if Damien knew what this, and if he knows, which he may, he will also be stabbing me. And I'll actually explain.
If you could get to that part quickly, that would be a lot more helpful. Thank you.
So, there's this director.
Is there?
Who has made a trilogy. And the third movie of that trilogy came out this year. I didn't realize about this whole trilogy thing because I started watching this movie and I watched it based on another movie I'd seen of his. And it started off with something like the end of the third part of whatever. And I said, what? Excuse me? And I go searching. Actually, I pause the movie. I'm like, oh my God, do I need to do any research? I pause the movie. I go online. And apparently, this is the third movie of what is called the Living Trilogy. And I said to myself, okay, that sounds like the last movie. And yes, the last movie that I watched, You the Living, which Damien adores.
Mm-hmm. You remember that movie, Damien?
Of course. And
was,
I do love it.
Was the
so much.
Second part of this trilogy.
Have you run out of knives yet, Damien?
I have now watched the third part, which is Pigeon, or a pigeon sat on a branch reflecting on existence. This movie is part two to You the Living. That's, you know, it's the next level. I really enjoyed it. There were a lot of just funny moments. So it's a bunch of vignettes, a bunch of short clips. And I've read people that talk about this movie, and they definitely talk about this movie much more pretentiously than I do. Much more, well, I shouldn't say pretentious. That's a bit harsh. But they make this movie sound like it's this thing that's striving for the gods or something like that, right? Which it probably is, and maybe I'm just taking it at face value and being an idiot, which I probably am. But there are moments in this movie that are just downright hilarious, like a son trying to steal his mother's valuables right before she dies because she can't take them with her, and she can't talk, she can't move, but she's holding on that, and she's, you know, screaming for help.
He's really hard to get stoned after he dies.
Exactly.
He's going to freeze up.
Yeah.
Rigor mortis will hit it super quick.
Yeah. And just, you know, the movie's beautiful. The color scheme, the way that the camera is just positioned and set. It's I love this movie. And I know... I can feel that there's a knife in my back. There's a knife in my side.
Look, I am the happiest person in the world that you've seen this movie. You know why?
No. You see, you shouldn't be. Because I've now watched 2 out of 3. That means there's a third movie I need to watch.
You're not allowed.
There's a third movie I need to watch, Andrew.
You're not allowed to pick that as a podcast movie.
Oh, the podcast is going to be real interesting real soon.
I'm copying right now. Damon,
I am reading a 1-star review of the movie that Douglas just spoke about.
Oh yeah?
On IMDb. It is surrounded by a lot of 10-star reviews of this movie. So I'm assuming this movie is polarized.
Yup.
You're like, 1-star, that should be the one that appears.
No, there was a lot of higher reviews, and then I got to the 1-star, and I guess, like...
Yeah. And listen,
I can't do
that is 100%...
Having seen the other movie you're talking about,
you know exactly
I'm
why.
This
movie
is trash.
Yeah.
My number 5 is MI5. Have you seen Mission Impossible?
I have seen Mission Impossible.
All of them are the same movie.
Yes, they are.
And I like all of them.
Yes.
And I continue to like all of them. Are they the best movies? No.
What?
If you want something fun to watch, is it your go-to option? Is Tom Cruise still crazy? I don't know, who cares. These movies are incredible. And as long as he keeps making them, I'ma keep watching them. And there's Mission Impossible in the movie.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You've seen these movies, so you know what is in the movie.
Yeah.
And there's people who are upset because it's more Mission Impossible, as if they didn't see the number 5 beside it. But I don't talk to anyone.
I saw Rogue Nation, I didn't see a number.
What number is it?
It's Rogue Nation. It's subtitled Rogue Nation. There's no number.
Wait, is this a foreign film?
Yes.
Is that right, subtitles?
Yes. My number 5.
Mm-hmm.
It is Apple the movie. Steve Jobs.
Hobbs.
Because Danny Boyle done it.
He did it.
I talked about Victoria having the one shot movie. I talked about It Follows playing straight into its genre. Biopics in their own realm. We've discussed numerous times and we've talked about their trappings.
And their badness.
Their badness. I love biopics which deal with this very, very acute look at a person's life. Where you're not really looking at their whole lifespan, you're just looking at one thing that they did. And Danny Boyle said, what if we do 3 of those? And we just let it go.
And then we end the movie.
And what it showed me was it gave me a great look into an actual progression of this guy. I didn't need the in-between spaces where he would be depressive or just angry at people, because I got all of that I needed through those 3 moments. And to see it finally ramp up to that moment that he actually hit. It works. It's a great movie.
But Andrew, Danny Boyle took liberty.
And all of the Aaron Sorkining is just great.
Aaron Sorkin and Danny Boyle took liberties. None of those things actually happened to me.
Fuck that movie.
People are weird.
I'm glad you like that, Damon.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
I've only seen it once.
Good.
That is why it's not on my
Because
I don't know. I don't know how much. Because I've only seen it the one time.
I think there's only one movie on this list I've seen more than once.
That's sad. You guys give us that sad life.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rewatching movies is fun.
Yeah. All right. So my number 4. This year, I feel, was the year of the Western.
Mm-hmm.
There were quite a few of them. There was Slow West, which was pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
There was The Hateful Eight, which
I'm told
is pretty good.
Look, it's the best movie of 2015 that isn't on my list.
There you go.
Because technically, I can't put it on if I haven't watched the movie.
Exactly. And
but I know it's the best movie of 2015.
Of course. And some people say there was The Salvation that may or may not have been this year. That was pretty good. I still haven't watched it though. Not good? Oh, okay. Whatever. However, I would like there to be more westerns. I'm just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one, dude.
I have so busy your petition.
There was one. And it had a lot of bones and a lot of tomahawks.
I mean, you still don't know what a tomahawk is. Which is impressive.
Oh, Damien. Bone tomahawk is the best. And, you know,
delicious.
It's one of those things. It's very much a slow burn western, which is, I feel like those are sometimes, they can be the best. It's like, what was the name of that movie? Unforgiven. That movie takes about 5 hours to get to where all the excitement is. This movie does something similar.
Yeah,
but
you earn it.
You earn it, yeah. There are a couple of times where I guess the director's like, all right, fine, we need to give them something. And there's, you know, one or two kind of small variances or small, you know, allowances before the final payoff. And oh, is the final payoff sweet.
That reminds me, I forgot to pack the Yule tree.
Are any of you somnambulists?
That's private.
You need a sleepwalk.
Oh, no, I don't.
Me neither.
No.
Good. Sleep with your guns nearby, and you shoot anything that rings a bell.
It'll be an innocent animal, somebody lost.
Our horses are hobbled. Any animal that comes at us is a predator. Any person that approaches a camp in the dark without identifying themselves is a criminal or a savage. You hear it jingle, point your gun and shoot. I'll probably beat you to the draw, but don't count on me to save you.
Let it go. I can't. Hey. You watch how you speak to the law. Sheriff especially. You aren't captain.
No. I'm the most intelligent man here, and I intend to keep us alive.
Oh, you're the most intelligent man here. Is that a fact?
It is. Sheriff Hunt has a wife. So does Mr. O'Dwyer. And you're a widower.
Yeah. What has that got to do with anything?
Smart men don't get married.
Well,
and the build up is it's
the word
great.
Payoff is how you described that earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Damien,
they didn't end that movie. But
I
that
remember,
movie ended.
I remember I really wanted to watch this movie because I love the trailer. The trailer was fantastic, mainly because of Kurt Russell. And I said to myself, I don't know about this Patrick Wilson fellow. Yeah. I've seen him in a couple of things, and to be fair to the man, I've liked him in a couple of things. I have also disliked him in a number of things. So his good to bad ratio, I don't think is very positive in my books. However, the minute he didn't need to do anything, he didn't need to kill anybody. The minute he spoke, I said, yes, this is it. He needs to be in this movie. This is, you know, a western fellow. this movie is great, and the villains are superb.
I want them in other movies.
Oh,
that's how
man.
Good they are. They should be the bad guys for like any movie that needs a villain.
Just
put them in the movie.
Alright, so listen guys, first of all, please understand, it was real hard for this not to be my number one. It should be my number one. It probably shouldn't be my number one, but it feels like it's so good.
Right.
If you have not watched this movie, you need to stop. First of all, we need to have our knives ready because he hasn't put it on his
There's
list.
There's no way it's not going to be on his list. I know that.
But
I've come to terms with that.
But if you guys, if all two of you that are listening to this podcast,
me and whoever else,
right, have not watched this movie yet, just press pause and watch that movie, because I promise you, you will not.
So if you go by gut feeling alone, it is number one.
Is it because of what they do to Kurt Russell?
No, no. I mean, that helps. It is additive.
It is what happened in the back half of the movie.
It's just everything. It's just the,
like, it comes out of that is the part.
Yeah,
that is, like, it is surprising how that movie, like, the end of that movie turns into a different movie, and it's spectacular.
It's almost a horror movie in the end of
it
that
is.
Movie.
Yeah, that's what happens intentionally.
I love that.
It is, and it's in the day. Like, there's no nighttime trickery. There's no shrubbery hiding. Like, it is shot in broad daylight. You're afraid of everything that is about to happen to these people.
And what's great about that movie is that after it's finally finished with the horror, it turns back into a dumb western where they have a joke and you know,
and like,
they move
on. Roll credits.
Oh, I love this movie.
A movie is something else.
I don't feel this strongly about some of my other movies that are higher than this.
That is
this.
Sad.
Because he doesn't want to have an argument next year.
Fair point.
Right, fair point.
Although he would have won the argument he had next year by saying the worst bone on Tomahawk. I can't argue with a man that put that as number one. It's a good ass movie.
Actually, it very much almost was number one.
But my,
I have some things. Come on.
My number four is James Bond 4. I mean, yeah, 4. It's the fourth one with Daniel Craig, right? James Bond 4. There's people who have mixed feelings about his James Bond. It wasn't as gritty as his previous outings. But let me be clear. There are, 22 other James Bond movies that he's not in? Something like that. I'm terrible at math. This is the first one he's been in that feels like the other ones. This is the most James Bond-ass James Bond movie. It is not The Bourne meets James Bond. It is James Bond meets James Bond. And for this to be the final one, it feels like a fitting exit. That and this is the most beautiful movie I might have ever seen. It is pretty.
Either it's
pretty. No, you're
like
wrong.
The Hong Kong scene in Skyfall.
Yes,
is
but that
way
is
prettier.
A scene. The all of this movie, it is beautiful. And like, it feels like James Bond. If like I'm happy that I have two better James Bond movies from him, but I'm also really happy that he made me a James Bond movie. Just a straight up. These are the dumb gadgets. These are the silly bad guys. These are the dumb action scenes. Just him being suave from start to end and getting the girl and all of the things. It didn't end on a depressing note. It ended uplifting because of course that's what
I was depressed when that movie ended.
That is terrific. But that is you, not him. The movie is, I just, like, I love everything about this James Bond movie. It is fun. I just like all of the little touches in this movie just feel great. They incorporated more of the cast in there. It's not just him. It's just fantastic. Just fantastic. So that's why it's my number four. Hey, Rob.
My number four. Mm-hmm. The movie put it brilliantly when they had one of their characters mention the reason why their terrain is so terrible isn't because of the weather, it isn't because of the lack of technology, it's because everyone is so fucking stupid. It is the bone of the Tomahawks, my number four, because this movie is just perfect, right? Matthew Fox is the man in white, and guess what? They just didn't dress him in black.
Yeah,
mess with us. Kurt Russell.
Can I change my number in?
Kurt Russell is on his way to Hateful Eight bearding This is basically in place of where Hateful Eight should be, right? Because I don't think I could stomach having two Kurt Russell waiters on the list.
Right, there would be a pattern. You're like, oh, that's how you get movies out of my top 10. You just put Kurt Russell in a beard and some old timey clothes, and it's automatic.
And give him guns.
Mm-hmm.
Damon and I like this movie.
Jesus Christ, that movie is so good.
It's because they're so stupid, Damon.
So good.
And I love the turn. Like, you guys keep talking about the horror tone to the end, almost as if you're like, I don't know if I should like this movie.
No.
You are misunderstanding.
It was just so surprising, right, but in a wonderful way.
You are misunderstanding. Usually, when westerns come out, I can then point to everyone and go watch that, knowing that they would. This is the first western that I've gone, you know what? Don't watch it.
And also, can I say, it might be the only movie on my list to use the word troglodyte in a movie, mm-hmm. which for a western is a big ass fucking word.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. There's no end to the love I feel for that movie.
So, Andrew, are you saying that you and I value this movie equally? It's both our number four.
I guess. Don't worry. I know there's one movie in here that you guys will stop before.
Oh, okay.
That's about it. It's your turn.
All right. Well, so I'm kind of upset that these movies came out the same year as Bone Tomahawk. Because again, Bone Tomahawk deserves to be number one. But, guys,
you know, Douglas, every once in a while, somebody just scores more goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he played a perfect game. It's just that Messi's on the other team.
Exactly. Well, you know? They score more goals, they drive more cars, they find more gasoline. Mad Max is my number three. I love this movie. And I know that both of you are probably putting it at number one. But either way, Mad Max is fantastic. I'm pretty sure we've said all we can say about this movie already.
I mean, I can't say more. We probably just shouldn't.
It's perfect.
The fact that this movie isn't the highest grossing movie of all time annoys me. It does annoy me.
But Damien, Star Wars.
I understand. It saddens me to know, Ed, that the franchise that rebooted this year, that is going to make all of the money in the world, mm-hmm. is not a good one.
But it just means that you get a decade plus of sharing this movie with people. Who didn't go and watch it, they went to Star Wars instead.
No, that's not what it means. It means that this movie won't get the recognition it deserves. There should be no... the Oscars should just have the car parked up, like one of the vehicles parked on the stage, and any award that it is possible to give them, just line all of them up on top, and just have George Miller at the back just smiling the entire time as they read things and have people and just pan right back to the car and him in there dying with laugh. Because there's nothing better than it. It cannot be.
God, this movie.
Anyways,
I love how Damien is making the argument for my movie.
Yeah.
You think he's actually now talking about his number three. He hasn't actually said that name
no.
yet.
My number three is a movie I wanted to dislike. I went into this movie determined to not like this movie. Not because of anything that the movie did, but because of the director. But this movie is tremendous. It is aggravating to me because it means certain things in the future. But I can't hold that against the movie. The Martian is my number three movie. It is spectacular. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how good this movie is. Even when Donald Glover shows up, I'm like, why is he in this movie? Alright, movie, who cares? I watched that movie again last night with people, and
the movie starts out and everybody's like, yeah, no, like we've seen this type of, hey man, are you sure he's just going to be trapped here? We're just going to watch him suffer until they rescue him, is what everyone says. And the thing I just said is what happens in this movie. Except you're wrong about everything that you're thinking of. You have not seen this movie. The process that this movie takes from start to end, even though you know where it starts and you also know where it ends, none of that is important. The journey that it takes you on, all that is important, and it's spectacular.
My favorite joke with this movie isn't actually in the movie. It was a tweet. I don't know who did it. Can't remember at this point, but it was before I saw the movie. And I got a little bit angry because it was before I saw the movie. But then when I saw the movie, I'm like, that's perfect, right? Somebody stopped and said, you guys realize Donald Glover has to explain the plot of Lord of the Rings to Sean Bean? And someone says, of course he did. He was only in a third of it.
That's pretty good. The casting is perfect. Like, when the movie starts and he's like, what's your job again? To make sure that the craft is still upright? And the guy's like, no, I'm, you know, making sure that the craft is well maintained is my entire job. And I'd also like to report that the craft is still upright. Alright, movie. And it just goes from there. A movie that should have been sad and depressing was funny the entire time. It was upbeat. And even in the bad moments, you were just with the movie and the journey and the process. And it is remarkable that he got this done, because he's been bad for so long. So long. This man has been incapable of telling a story that makes anything even close to sense.
But Damien, Prometheus.
Blade Runner. I'm going to stop. Yeah, all right. Even if I give you Blade Runner, it's been 30 years. All right, 25 years.
I don't know what that's.
Word. Neither did he. All right, so actually I find it interesting. I'm thinking about what we've mentioned so far. I don't think anyone's mentioned a depressive movie yet. So I'm about to bring that.
I'm getting there. That's the next movie.
My number three is The Look of Silence.
Because
I just have to. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, documentary.
Yeah, alright, fine.
Yeah, Andrew, you'll receive no argument. It's one of those documentaries which, and I don't know how much of it is the lead up with the movie that came before that I'm giving to it. But even if I forget that movie and we just talk about what happens in this one, like, just seeing this guy have a personal journey with his story and the way he treats it, it's no longer just you being with a documentarian who's finding out all this information and presenting it to you. He's using the proxy of this guy who has personal interest in this, in what happened, and seeing, and you becoming fearful for him as the movie continues deeper and deeper down into him trying to find out what really happened, and to find out if anyone feels any form of remorse as to what happened.
The answer is no, no one cares.
I don't know if we're going to be talking about this movie 50 years from now when they have the follow-up. This guy's son now talks to people and they all kind of retroactively go, yeah, there were bad people back then.
No, this guy's son talked to people as to what happened to his disappearing father.
Father disappeared after recording this movie. You know what happened? No, dog.
No.
Can I know which section you're coming
like,
from?
Just like last year when The Act of Killing came out, that movie is the best movie of the year. No one should watch this movie.
Right. Yeah, no.
It is too sad. Right? There's nothing wrong with the movie except for the fact that it is the saddest thing you've ever watched.
As opposed to the movie that actually has the embodiment of sadness in it. That's inside of it. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of sadness, Damien? Does sadness have a purpose?
Just killing. It's just a kill time. Till happiness comes back.
Douglas.
Yeah. So I'm at number two. And I don't know if you've watched this movie, Damien. I know Andrew has, and I doubt he liked it as much as I do.
because you're dumb.
But yeah, I am
all
dumb.
All your movies are dumb.
Yeah, they
I
are.
I think you're an idiot.
I am.
These are just facts that you're stating.
I don't know, right? I don't understand why no one will refute any of those claims.
I can neither confirm or deny.
But I love this movie. This movie is one of those movies where it just kind of strikes a chord and you're just like, oh wow, that's something that I just...
It's built by Honda. Thank you. Can I leave now? Can I leave now? Accord.
Did you not get it?
Okay. You're not supposed to, because you're a better man than me.
I was thinking about it coming in and all of them. And all
like
the
steak stacks that nope.
Don't
just a which jump. That was VW.
I was like, isn't that the one Damon Chazelle
used? It's just a dumb.
Yeah.
It's just a dumb joke.
Okay.
Dumb people.
So let's move on.
And myself.
Yeah, pretty much.
And myself. Yeah.
I am above these things.
Sure.
You should be grateful that you did instantly, your brain did instantly go, this idiot. You're just able to go, alright, he said a dumb thing. Let me try and work out what he... And you just moved on. Not me and Douglas.
So, my number two is a movie about just straight up miserable people. People who are so miserable. They need to share their misery with others. They need to make everyone around them just straight up miserable.
Why did you put Hunger Games this high?
Better choice. Are you have one more?
No, I'm done.
And what's interesting actually is, kind of like you and your last movie, this is a movie that I went in kind of... I wasn't as determined as you were. But again, based on the director, and based on some of the... at least one of the people that are in this movie, I kind of came to the conclusion that I didn't want to like this movie. But did it... It changed my mind right quick. And this movie is the latest directorial... pursuit of one Angelina Jolie called By the Sea.
Wow.
I love this movie.
Wow.
Yes, I know. And
I did appreciate the making other people miserable parts of that movie.
Yeah.
But wow.
Are you sure that's a movie?
I'm sure.
Not number first, two.
Have you seen this movie?
All, yeah. Okay.
Angelina Jolie Pete.
Oh, sorry.
But yes. Excuse me.
Yeah, this is true.
Are you sure?
I'm super sure. This movie, you know what it is,
Douglas,
too?
Douglas,
this movie strikes me the same way that the Before series strikes me. And I think that also has a bit to do with it, that I watch this movie and I think, and it's clear, you know, the similarities. I think of that series.
I'm certain. Andrew. Like, has the time off from work done something? It's not French.
He was at the beach this morning.
What?
So maybe...
Yes, I was.
Maybe he's kind of thinking about the sea that he saw. Maybe he's talking about the movie he made on the beach.
Andrew, let me talk to Rational people. You see this movie,
I
right?
saw it. I went to the movie to see it with him.
I have a quick question. Did he see the movie?
I wasn't really watching.
Was he in a fugue state?
But he could have been watching the Before movie on his phone.
What I'm saying, were there any psychotic elements, drug related ingredients that took place before said movie? Because there's no way he's talking about the movie. I think he's talking about it. Because I too have seen that movie. And that movie is a meh if I'm feeling generous.
I mean, like the fact where they're making other people.
Yes, like there's things in the movie that are watchable. It is not a bad movie. But to say that it is better than... Let me give you some examples from his list. Say Bone Tomahawk. Is a step so far that I cannot...
It could be a step for mankind, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a lot of things. Just not a thing you'd find by a sea. No, it can't be that. It cannot. I don't know what's happening. I'm very confused.
Let's move on, Damon. Let's try and walk away from
Son?
This. I mean, is there anything else you want to say, Douglas, before we move on?
Just that if it was called Under the Sea, they could have had a better theme song.
Yeah, that is what you get for allowing you to talk more about. You're welcome. I don't need this. This I don't need, but I can't.
You should have muted this mic the second you said by the sea. And just put it due to technical difficulties. Douglas will not be heard from for the rest of this episode. My number two is Kung Fury.
I almost put that on my list, but I decided it's not really a movie.
No, it's a movie.
I know it is.
I tried hard to not put it on the list.
People can have that 17-minute movie, World of Tomorrow, on their list. They can have Kung Fury on the list.
I didn't want it to go on my list. Earlier, Douglas was saying, you know, I said to Douglas, it's been a bad year for movies. And Douglas was like, it's alright. I said, no, this year has been bad. Because usually I work from 30 movies and whittle them down to 10. Arguing with myself all the way. This year is the first year I have to look at my movies and go, I need some more. I need more movies. There need to be, you know, contenders in this thing. And eventually I said, alright, if I'm going to have to pad out my list, I should just put in a movie that deserves to be on the list. Whether it's the dumbest thing or not. Which is why Kung Fury is here. It is not the best movie of the year. Because one movie. That is the reason it is not number one. Because there's a movie better. Not because of anything else. One movie is better. And Kung Fury is. It's not the FP. But it's close.
No, I would say it's. Actually, you're right. It's close, but just. Close on the other side. It's ahead. It is the better.
No one had conversations about the ducks.
There was a triceratop.
And a hacker man.
Which, of
hacked
course.
Too much time.
He hacked out the bullets.
Uh huh. But Kung Fury is 30 minutes. Kung Fury is 30 minutes. Because
Andrew, it was almost on my list. Like, it was this close to not being on my list. To being on my list.
Like, Kung Fury is as long as it needs to be.
Yeah.
And I don't like saying if there was more of it, it would have beaten the FP. But if there were more of it, it would have beaten. The FP gives me an hour and a half to bask in its glory. By the time the FP is done, my brain is done. I can have to shut it down and go to sleep. Kung Fury, I have to do that 3 times, which I've done many times, but I still have to do it 3 times.
Can I ask what's your view on Kung Fury?
Like, it's 30 something.
I mean, I know it's a half an hour.
Yeah,
so you can fit it all up.
It's there's times I just sit down and. Like, I keep laughing at the same jokes because they keep being funny. Every time he hacks too much time, I just have to sit there dying with laugh. It doesn't. He jumps out of his roof, his apartment, and lands in a car with suicide doors. It's just so stupid. Oh, God. I love that movie. I really do.
So my number two, talking about being depressive, is a movie that I don't think either of you have watched, and I really wouldn't recommend either of you watch because you guys won't like it. It is quite possibly one of the most interesting movies that came out in the last year about insight and about depression, and it's. A movie that comes from a filmmaker who I honestly couldn't have told you a year ago I would have wanted to watch, or I would have been interested in, or I would have liked. Because the movie he showed us last year, I was not into. And this is his follow-up feature with Elizabeth Moss in Queen of Earth, Alex Ross Perry's second film.
Yeah.
I don't deserve this. I just want to be left alone. I want to be left alone with the few people who are left in this world who are decent. You are weak and greedy and selfish, and you are the root of every problem. You are why people betray one another. You are why there is nowhere safe or happy anymore. You are why depression exists. You are why there is no escape from indecency and gossip and lies. You, Rich, you are why my father had to die. Because he couldn't live in a world like this.
The movie's great. I love Elizabeth Moss in this movie. She is, like, this is one of those movies where you have to iron over time for it. You can't just wake up and be like, I'm going to have a little, like, brunch.
And you have to be in a serious frame of mind for that movie, because you saw, right? I made a joke about it because I was looking through the other day to say, what movies am I going to watch? Because I kind of wanted to bone up on not the Tomahawks, but the 2015 movies, and try and see, you know, if there's anything that I'd like. And I saw this movie and I said, what is this movie? And I clicked on YouTube and watched the trailer, and Damien, the trailer is fantastic. It's perfect. It is the best joke ever. This movie is no joke, but it does kind of take that joke, and it doesn't. The thing about it is, it doesn't use it as a joke, but it takes the joke in my mind and does it. It is a horror movie about depression.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is, and I wish that I was in the right mind frame for it, because I feel like I would love it as much as you. I watched the first half and I was kind of like, you know what, let me just stop here. I can't deal with this right now. But yeah, there's something special about that movie.
This is a movie where, kind of like Look of Silence, when you're done with it, you kind of have to just put everything off, turn everything off, and just walk away. You can't easily feed into another. You can't be like, okay, now I'm going to watch.
No, let me watch something else.
No, let me watch Frozen and be happy.
Yeah.
It's not going to work like that. But the movie's fantastic. I kind of see what all those people last year were talking about with this Alex Ross Perry dude.
I guess.
Where they were like, he's fantastic and he's the most interesting guy. Like I was last year with Listen Up Philip, I was not having
Oh,
it.
No.
this movie, however, I mean,
so, all right, guys.
But before we get to our number ones,
uh-huh,
I want us to take a moment, build up some anticipation for what will be our number one slots, and talk about the movies that didn't make our list, or as I'd like to call it, completely arbitrary Trump Awards of 2015.
Some of them did make my list.
Douglas, I'd love you to start us off.
Okay, sure. Well, my first award, which is my first award for the best movie about dirty immigrants,
mm-hmm,
goes to, it was a short list of nominees, but it ended up going to Paddington.
Mm-hmm.
Come on for your award, Teddy Bear.
Let's not. It's just going to be destruction. It's going to bring some hype.
That movie actually was on my 20 and then got pushed out. It was on the fringe.
Yeah. It's a really good movie. I love that movie.
The minute I watched Phoenix, I'm like, nope.
I feel like I shouldn't like that movie,
with Paddington,
but I really like it.
I don't really like it. I feel about it the same way I felt about Tintin.
Tintin.
You're not French.
It looks good, but I don't like it. Right, continue.
Okay. So.
Sorry to cut.
No, sure. The next award goes to the best movie about finding yourself on a pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. And again, it was a short list of nominees, but the award went to Magic Mike XXL.
We'd like to ask Michael Strahan to come up for the award.
Listen, we do have the time to dance his way up here.
So again, my next award for best child urination scene,
mm-hmm,
goes to No Escape. A movie that I actually really love. A movie that I actually really love that scene.
That really and a movie shouldn't have been that good.
It should not have been.
It was one of those movies where it felt like it just really nailed that kind of movie.
Yeah.
And it just worked.
Yeah.
And there was Pierce Brosnan.
There was, yes. And he was a spy again.
You're like, great. You have to be James Bond, right? Everybody's like, no, he's not James Bond. You're James Bond. I'm James Bond.
Okay, now for the not so, well, they're all dumb, but perhaps not so funny ones. The best movie of 2015 that I'll most likely hate next year goes to Sisters. Because I laughed harder than I did in almost any movie this year. In that movie, I still don't feel like I like it.
Wow.
Was it because I was enjoying myself that
no,
much?
No, it's just, it doesn't feel like a real movie. It feels like a bunch of jokes cobbled together, a bunch of good jokes cobbled together, and then I just, at the end of it, I feel like,
do you need more than that?
Maybe I don't. I'll have to watch it again, but I feel like the next time I watch it, it's not going to be pretty. Yeah.
Maybe if you watch it alone, there's no one to laugh with.
True.
And there was a John Cena in that movie.
True. The best movie about a movie within a movie after a movie. This is a very prestigious award. It must, of course, go to a movie I sadly could not include in my top 10 list. A movie called The Final Girls.
I'm okay giving that movie out of
one. I love that movie. And last but certainly not least, the best movie that wasn't really a movie, but kind of is one, though. It's Kung Fury. Love Kung Fury.
It's my number two movie. I think I like that movie as well. Is it my turn?
If you look at my, if you look at my Letterboxd page, mm-hmm, my top 10 is Kung Fury, mm-hmm, times 10.
So my awards for the evening, mm-hmm, right? I have a few set of awards, but there's some awards behind it though.
Right.
Best franchise reboot, mm-hmm, because we had a few of those this year.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to Rocky 7 because Apollo Creed, he don't joke. Right, that movie's fun. That movie's good.
It can't win that award. It cannot. There's a far better movie with a road.
Movie with best musical moment, mm-hmm, that isn't a musical, and sadly this award is a tie, goes between two movies. Number one uses a song, Get Down Saturday Night, as we watch Oscar Isaac and Robots dance, and number two is Shine Bright Like a Diamond.
Fuck you.
With Girlhood.
Go fuck
really
yourself.
That movie
is the worst.
It still can get the award. It doesn't have to be. He said the best movie with that.
That movie's good. So good.
You realize you've been angry at him. Right?
The best movie by, let me call him a new filmmaker, because if he has other movies, I didn't know there were other movies.
Okay. I like this category already.
That
I couldn't have predicted I would have even pretended to like when the year began. And that movie goes to The Gift. That award goes to The Gift, directed by Joel Edgerton. Have you given this movie a chance yet, Damien? No.
Don't do it.
The movie is so good.
I'm afraid.
You should be.
I'm man enough to say that.
You're afraid of the gift.
I'm afraid of...
Don't open the gift. Don't unwrap it. It's nothing good can come of it.
So I've been told.
I only have two awards left to give. Well, Douglas ruined one of them with my Facebook joke.
I love that joke.
The best movie about oppressed young women having a chance to get out of their master's clutches goes to Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella.
Did you like that movie? I did like that movie.
The movie was really good.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like Paddington. It kind of took itself...
Nowhere near as much as I like Paddington, no.
It just kept going down its road and it didn't let up. It just walked into its own little niche of movies and it worked. Alright. Kind of like Anna Karenina, you know, when you get to that dance scene.
Don't.
It just showed me, right? I'm with it. My final award of the evening, it goes to the best movie about nothing that ends up making you love people.
Seinfeld?
Who are the worst people in the world. Goes to Greta Gerwig and Mistress America.
I like that movie a lot.
I remember I was here. Staring at you, idiot.
Very angry.
The movie sucks. It really does. So it's my turn.
It's your turn.
You've all been very generous. So movies, I'm here to change it. Worst movie of the year goes to American Ultra. The movie sucks. Biggest disappointment is The Martian. You might be saying, no, why Damien? And doesn't make any sense.
Because now he's disappointed that he has to like
Ridley
Scott.
Have to watch more Ridley Scott movies.
You know, it's the death of Ridley Scott.
Damn it! Just need one more. Just one more.
Damien, there's more aliens coming though.
I don't want to see any more aliens. Guys, go to hell. Best use of a non-actor is John Cena in two movies. In Trainwreck and Sisters.
You saw Sisters?
Yes.
That movie's great.
It really is. I don't know what's wrong with Douglas.
No, the thing, as I said, I laugh. It's just joke. It's so funny. But it just
wins.
Doesn't.
No, the better joke was in Trainwreck, but that's not what
well,
is.
That movie
that's
like
not,
so.
That's
like
what, not
half Mark Wahlberg's.
That's not what the award is for. Worst use of a non-actor goes to Topher Grace in American Ultra.
No, actually, no, I'll tell you, the worst, I dispute that award.
Okay.
I believe that award should go to John Cena in That Is Home.
I haven't seen that. Oh.
That doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
First of all, by that point, the movie sucked too hard for you to care.
Exactly, that movie is horrendous.
And he was in that movie for like 3 seconds.
And how long was he in
he had like
lines Sisters?
In those movies. Yeah, he had presents in those movies.
While that is fun. Best comedy intentional is Spy.
Cagney and Lacey.
Best comedy not intentional is The Visit. Best use of a dinosaur. Any guesses?
Kung Fury.
Nope.
Close.
I don't know.
There wasn't a Toy Story short this year. I don't know.
There was a good dinosaur movie.
I didn't like that movie at all.
I hated that
There
movie.
Was a movie that is literally called Jurassic World.
Well, that's
yeah, but it clearly there. Isn't that.
Best use of a dinosaur is Harrison Ford in Star Wars. Worst use of a dinosaur, the entirety of Jurassic World. Best use of minions, again, Star Wars.
But they had lines. They had lines. they have personalities this time. It wasn't like all the other movies, right? They're just clones.
Worst use of minions. American Ultra wins again. Cleaning up.
Does Walton Goggins get to come and pick up the award?
That is why I'm upset. They wasted him in that movie. The one thing. Yeah, well, let me stop talking about that movie. Alright, the Inside Out Award for award I had to give Inside Out. Inside Out. The best soundtrack is dope. The most soundtrack is Compto. Straight up. The movie that had the most impossible mission is The Martian. Let's be serious.
Yep.
The biggest surprise, Man from U.N.C.L.E. Thought the movie is going to be a train wreck. And it's one of my favorite movies.
Super awesome. I love that movie now.
The best looking movie is Spectre. The worst looking movie is Unfriended.
Holy shit.
Why? Why did that happen? Three more awards. The most Korean is Bone Tomahawk. There's a movie that fell out of Korea. That is the movie. The best actress is Kate Blanchett in whatever it is she came in this year. I don't know, I haven't seen her in anything. I'm sure she's in a movie. So she wins by default.
She's in Carol, no?
Have you seen that movie?
I have not, but no. I'm just saying that because he looked like he went immediately to his computer. Yeah. It looks like
she was in something.
Trying to figure out. Yeah, man, she's in Carol.
But I haven't seen it.
She was also in Cinderella.
Oh yeah!
She was in that. So there, you can give it to each other.
Not for that. Although she gets it regardless. And best actor is Matt Damon, because let's be serious. That Marshall carried that movie.
He signs the shit out of that movie.
He did.
Yeah.
Has the best line in a movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
So we're at our number ones.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for us to say it in unison?
Okay.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Kung Fury.
You really went Kung Fury?
No. My number one is actually The Martian. I love that movie. I rewatched it just the other day, and it honestly could be because I just watched it recently why it's over everything else. But the movie is spectacular.
It is. It's really so
good.
It really, really is. So much so I'm going to have to watch more of his movies.
Damon,
I just needed it.
Damon,
I just needed it for me.
Damon,
yeah,
we've been doing this podcast a while.
Yeah,
we've been doing these top tens a while.
Yeah,
but there's one thing that's always rained true.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all of these things.
Yeah,
we never fucking agree.
Nope,
that's not the best movie of the year. Is.
There was a year that you should have, and you decided not to.
How did this happen, Damon?
To win some invisible argument you're going to have.
Oh, can we sit beside one another and say that Mad Max Together is the best movie?
Andrew, Mad Max is so good, I am confused.
I mean, like Douglas, we hit this point where I was like, oh, we have to do our top 10, and mm-hmm. I should probably watch a bunch of 2015 mm-hmm. movies. But when I realized I wasn't going to make it in time, as you saw when you got here, I was sitting down watching mm-hmm. Mad Max again, because I'm like, let me just watch Mad Max again.
Yeah.
Let me just enjoy the goodness that is.
I have said that so many times this year. I went to Carib, a place I despise, 3 times to watch the same movie. Doesn't happen often.
I've only done that once, and I was.
Did you actually watch it 3 times, Inception. Or were those just 3 attempts?
No, I watched it 3 times.
Okay.
At Carib. God, I hate that place. Like, I don't watch making ofs for movies because I don't like them. But I got the Blu-ray, and it is, and I've seen every inch of that Blu-ray. I've watched everything because that movie, like. It could have been bad because they've made them bad before. That is why they stopped making them. That last one was not good. And even despite people coming out before we got a chance to see the movie, everyone's like, hey guys, have to watch this movie. I was like, I mean, it's Mad Max though. Like, I love Mad Max. I've always loved Mad Max.
Yeah.
But it can't, like,
it can yeah, only be so good exactly. and no yeah. more. It is a Mad Max movie. What are they going to do? Put dinosaurs in it? They and the that. Movie came out. And like I saw the trailer, I'm like, I think there might be something here. But let me see what they're doing, because anyone can do anything with a trailer. And this movie, from the second I saw it, I knew that nothing else had a shot. Like, it just blew everything else out of the water.
You don't
this
seem
movie would have been number one in almost any year I can think of.
You don't seem to realize, Damien, how long for the last two, three weeks when I've been thinking about this top 10, where I was going, I can't put Mad Max number one. There has been some, let me think about this hard. There has been something that I like more than Mad Max. And every time I threw something there just to see how it would feel, it just didn't work. It just popped out.
Mad Max,
and Mad Max just drove over.
It's like, let's be serious. Just calm.
Once, I was a cop, a road warrior searching for a righteous cause.
Mankind has gone rogue. Terrorizing.
Thermonuclear skirmish.
The earth is sour.
Our bones are poisoned.
We have become half-life.
As the world fell, each of us in our own way was broken. It was hard to know who was more crazy. Me. Or everyone else.
Hello?
Here they come again, worming their way into the black matter of my brain.
Help us, Max. You promised to help us.
I tell myself, they cannot touch me. They are long dead.
I mean, alright, let us be fair and balanced. I think we've never done on this podcast. Are there some weaknesses in the movie?
No.
Let's pretend that there are. The story, if you look, take a holistic view, no, they drive far away and then return. The stakes for both him and her weren't really that high. He was going to be a blood bag and she was going to continue driving that thing that she drove. I can't come up with anything.
the movie's great,
the best movie. There's nothing wrong. What's wrong with the movie? There's not more.
Like,
number two isn't on the same disc. It's the only thing.
Like, Damien, I want to pretend that if I saw The Hateful Eight, it would be this movie.
There's no.
But do you know how hard Tarantino would have to fight to beat Mad Max?
He would have to make his best movie of all times and then multiply that by two.
I have seen some reviews say that this is his best movie of all time.
That is great.
That's funny.
And I hope it really is this. But he had, like, everyone would have to bring it. Alright, since we've been doing this podcast, I've not liked a movie more than Mad Max. Since we've been talking about movies, I look back at all of the movies that I put as number ones. None of them I love more than Mad Max. And you could go, well, you know, Damien, you hadn't seen those movies in a long time and whatever. That's not the case. I rewatch movies more than anything else. Anytime I'm bored, I find some movie I love and watch. Dark Knight isn't as good as this movie. Interstellar, none of them. None of them come close. It's so good.
I love good. How your go-to movies
Nolan,
are
Nolan, right. Because he's the only person I could point to and say, alright, maybe Chris Nolan can make a better movie than this
Ridley
movie.
Ridley Scott made a better movie than Chris Nolan. The Martian's better than Interstellar, guys. Marshall is better than
alright fine.
Actually, I'll tell you this much. I'm pretty sure that the only reason I rewatched Interstellar the other day is because I watched Martian. I watched Martian and I was like, space, I love it. And it was the first time actually since we had spoken about it I've decided I really like Interstellar. I remember I was like, well, yeah, it's either really great or not so good. I'm not sure because Dumbness and Tesseract, that movie's awesome.
we don't need to get into our Ridley Scott argument now, because I don't want to, because I hate him still.
especially because he's making you like him though.
I don't like him, I just like the movie. I'm divorcing him from the movie.
Unknown, directed by Unknown.
Like, I cannot think of a movie. Like, the last movie I remember loving this much. I can tell you the two. It is The Lion King. And it is The Matrix. Those are the two movies that I remember, like, just constantly rewatching. Just any reason, any excuse. If someone even looks at that movie funny. I've watched that movie twice during the holiday period. People have come over and they're like, "What's this Mad Max?" And I just kick people out of the way and hit play. And it's happened twice and I just sit there. I had things to do. One night I was an hour and 45 minutes late for work. You know why? I sat watching Mad Max again. Everyone's like, "Damn, you're not going to work." I said, "The movie's too finished." When I knew this movie wasn't even close to being finished. I sat there. I left my house to get to work. That starts at 9. At 10:05. That's when that movie ended. That's when I went to work. A movie I've seen countless times. It's the best movie. Nothing is close.
We can finish watching it before you go to work.
I mean, don't play those games. yeah, Douglas is wrong. Although Martian is incredible. Fury Road is the best movie that's come out this year. And it should win everything. Right? Maybe not best screenplay, but it should win that. Just for consistency. And it should. It really should have made all of the money in the world.
If I had to give this movie was in my honorary awards that I was going to give this movie would be the best heist film in which a director steals $100+ million from a studio and lies to them what he's going to do with it and then presents something back to them.
Like, when they gave him all that money and they're like, "Jeez, alright,
they're like, give us happy feet, we have to give you a blind."
You're right, you made us hundreds of millions, this is what you want the money to do, no one is going to watch this. And the studio, in fairness, was right, not a lot of people went to watch it. But I'm sure when they saw that movie come back, they're like, "We need to market the shit out of this, because everyone who sees this will go to everybody else, hey guys, there's one movie in the theater, just ignore everything else. It's the one movie, and it's this. I can't wait for Fury Road 2 or whatever else he does. I don't care what he does. If it makes Happy Feet 3 or whatever it is, I'll go and watch it.
Babes 3.
Couldn't care
less. Pig back on the farm. Mm-hmm. But he might go to the city and then come back to the farm later.
Pig on the moon.
God. So that's the end of the year, Damon.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel? How does it feel to be done with 2015?
Good. I was looking back. I didn't like last year at all. There's a lot of garbage that...
Is that just because of the usual reason of we haven't seen the good ones yet?
No. Because this year seems more aggressive.
End of year flurry is there and we just haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah, but usually when we get to the end of the year, we're like, "No, it was a pretty good year. This is the first year I can remember." No, this year sucks. This year I really did.
But it gave you my
For the first 3 months we got Kingsman, and only that. And then we got Furious and Mad Max. And then Avengers was there somewhere. And then we have a lot of garbage in the middle months. And then we got Spectre. And that is it. Like, Star Wars sucks. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. No one likes that movie. They just watch it out of obligation. There's nothing.
I like Star Wars.
The full year was just a vacant lot that was sprinkled by good movies that you watch and rewatch. It's not the end of your feud. Like, are you going... You think Chirac is going to be good?
I want to watch it.
I'm sure you do.
I totally want to watch it. It might be what I watch
Spike
tomorrow.
Spike Lee can't make a good movie to save him or anybody else.
Like, I mean, it's absurd to stand in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Right? Sure. Good luck with that. What's the name of the movie that you said she was in?
Carol?
Cinderella? Carol, right.
Oh, Carol. Okay.
It's Carol, Hateful Eight.
Joy.
Joy,
are like,
yeah, it's true. People
maybe.
Are iffy about that one.
Everyone's like, concussion sucks. Like,
but
everybody's
of course.
Talking about Anomalisa.
Do you really? Did you need anybody to tell you that concussion was going to suck?
But that usually around this time, they're like,
big movies that we expect to be good. Mm-hmm. But it's Hateful Eight and Carol.
No, there's Hateful Eight, there's Carol. People are talking really great things about Spotlight. There's Anomalisa. What else is there? There is...
The Revenant,
thank you.
With another Tom Hardy vehicle where he's Mad Max in the woods.
Isn't The Revenant not Tom Hardy?
It's DiCaprio.
Both
and
of them
Tom
are
Hardy.
In it, yeah.
I'm not feeling it this year.
So it's Interstellar directed by Inarritu, pretty much.
Alright, we've had fun. I need to get to
not Interstellar, sorry.
So that's the end.
Bye-bye.